Moonlight filtered through the clouds, casting strange shadows on this still autumn night, as a lone man on a horse clopped down a well-worn dirt road. It was an ominously quiet evening, All Hallows' Eve, in fact, and Ichabod Crane was on his way to a harvest festival atop his trusty but temperamental steed, Gunpowder. He had never been to such a party, and the thoughts of what awaited him swirled inside his head. Drinking, dancing, tales of ghosts and the supernatural, he supposed. What he was really after, however, was the love of Katrina Van Tassel, a beautiful young woman and the apple of his eye. The party was to be held at the Van Tassel homestead. Once the guests have all departed, that's when I'll make my move, Crane thought to himself. Then he'd have his chance to propose to Katrina and ask for her hand in marriage. Somewhere in the distance, an owl hooted ominously, the first sound he remembered hearing in some time on this dead, calm night. Crane shuddered in the chilly fall air. He wouldn't call himself chicken-hearted. He was not a coward, no, but, well, he was superstitious, and Sleepy Hollow, the village in which he resided, was well known to be haunted by certain strange entities. Or so the rumors went amongst the townspeople. Here he was, alone at night, during the thinning of the veil, when the boundary between the world of the living and the dead is at its weakest. Get it together, Crane, he muttered to himself. He tugged at the collar of his jacket as he spurred his steed onwards, down the gloomy, dimly lit path, glancing over his shoulder, jumping at shadows, trying to keep his wits about him. Sleepy Hollow. A bite-sized fright. This series contains disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. Ichabod Crane arrived at the Van Tassel homestead at around 7:45. Inside, he could hear a great commotion, riotous partygoers singing and dancing. As he carefully tied his horse to a hitching post outside the barn, two children suddenly raced past him, shrieking, wearing grotesque wooden masks. He hadn't thought to bring a costume, but no matter. He would enjoy himself, take part in the festivities, and then, later in the evening, he'd finally be alone with Katrina to profess his love. There was only one problem with his plan. That bastard, Brom Bones. He'd seemingly had it out for Ichabod ever since he arrived in Sleepy Hollow, shortly after the end of the Revolutionary War. Brom was a brute, and just didn't seem to like outsiders. It didn't help that he was also in love with Katrina, of course. Ichabod couldn't understand what she saw in him. He steadied himself, took a deep breath, and strode towards the homestead. Inside the impressive, lavishly decorated home of the Van Tassels, banners and wreaths hung along the walls and over doorways, and an impromptu dance floor, surrounded by straw bales, had been set up in the living area. Crudely carved gourds, fashioned with frightening faces, littered the home in abundance. "Good evening, sir," a servant greeted Ichabod as he entered. "Let me take your coat." Ichabod handed his hat and coat to the servant and glanced around furtively. No sign of Katrina. He found a table with refreshments, what appeared to be spiced cider, and took a cup, whereupon he took a few swigs. He walked towards the living area, where revelers were dancing and clapping along, as a fiddler, wearing a crimson-colored mask bearing a sinister grin, stood atop one of the bales whilst playing demonically. "Crane!" a booming voice suddenly bellowed, and Ichabod's blood ran cold. "Bones!" A large, meaty hand clapped him roughly on the shoulder as he turned to face the man. Brom Bones, real name Abraham Van Brunt, was a tall, muscular man, a gifted rider, or so he'd heard.
"So, Katrina invited you, eh? What's in that cup? Not ale, I'd wager. I'm sure such refreshments would be too much for someone like you to handle."
Brom snorted and looked Ichabod up and down, then leaned in closer, snatching him by the collar of his shirt.
Listen, Crane. Katrina may have invited you here, out of pity, perhaps, who knows, but she is not for you. Sleepy Hollow is not for you. And if I had my way, I'd run you out of town, right back to Connecticut where you came from, on that pathetic horse of yours. So watch yourself whilst here, or who knows what might happen.
Brom released his grip on Ichabod's shirt, sneering at him. Then he turned back to the dance. Ichabod composed himself as best he could. He dropped his cider when Brom had startled him. Candlelight flickered and darted around him in the eyes and mouths of the jack-o'-lanterns that decorated the dance floor, which had now turned strangely silent as the crowd began sharing stories of the ghosts said to roam the area. Katrina was still absent from the proceedings. Ichabod inched towards the rear of the crowd, finding a seat on a nearby straw bale. He settled in and listened as an old woman told a tale of Salem about witch trials and the hangings that followed. Some of the audience appeared fascinated, while others averted their gazes due to obvious discomfort. A servant passed, carrying a tray of candied apples. Ichabod seized one and chomped down on it, half listening to the story, scanning the room for Katrina, who was still nowhere to be found. Where was she? He hadn't noticed that the old woman's tale had ended when, moments later, that same booming voice cut through the air. Brom again. Brom strode to the center of the dance floor. The house was dimly lit, and he held a lantern beneath his sneering face, making him appear all the more sinister.
"Friends," he shouted, "prepare yourselves for a true tale of terror, one that is all too real. Those with weak hearts, please excuse yourselves, for this story I'm about to weave shall chill you right down to the bone. This is the tale of the Headless Horseman. Once, years ago during the war, there lived a German trooper, a Hessian. He was a fearsome warrior, a skilled horseman who slew countless Americans in his time. He seemed nigh undefeatable, but eventually he met his gruesome end in battle, not far from here, on this very night, in fact, on All Hallows' Eve. How did he die, you might be wondering? Why exactly was his demise so gruesome? Well, I'll share this with you, dear guests, but it's not a story for spineless men, and the ladies present should cover their ears at once, lest this story overwhelm them and cause them to faint on the spot. The death of this Hessian involved his head being shot clean off his shoulders by a cannonball. Boom! His mutilated skull flew a great distance from his body, which of course plummeted off his horse instantly. There was no doubt that he was indeed truly dead. Or so one would think. The crowd gasped and murmured as Brom told the tale of the murderous German horseman who was missing his head. He continued, speaking in a hushed, cautious tone. Legend has it that the horseman was buried in the cemetery at the old church, right here in Sleepy Hollow. But his head, or what was left of it, was gone. And each year, on All Hallows' Eve, on this very night, my friends, the vengeful horseman rises from his grave, searching for his head, carrying a jack-o'-lantern in its place. If you listen carefully, you can hear the cry of his horse in the distance. Do you hear it now? Listen. Brom cupped his hand to his ear for effect, looking about the room, his face distorted and glowering in the lantern light. Then, without warning, a shadowy figure leapt into view in front of Brom. He was clad in black, wearing a rider's outfit, adorned in a cloak, and missing his head. The crowd screamed and Ichabod drew back, falling off his seat on the straw bale with a thump. "My head!" the figure shouted as he drew a sword from its scabbard. "Return my head!"
The headless being staggered forwards, clumsily swinging his sword as the crowd of revelers shrieked and began to scatter. Ichabod tried to scramble to his feet, but stumbled backwards and tumbled down to the ground again. Suddenly, he could hear nervous laughter from the direction of the sinister apparition. Brom yanked the cloak from the figure, revealing nothing more than an ordinary man. It was Thomas, Brom's closest friend, and another thorn in Ichabod's side. This horseman had been a prank, a mere harvest joke. The crowd near Ichabod parted, and the laughter became louder.
"Ichabod Crane," Brom's voice thundered as he loomed over Ichabod. "Nearly soiled yourself, did you? It was just a children's story, for God's sake. Get up off the floor and stop making a fool out of yourself."
Men and women alike snickered and jeered while pointing with excited glee. Ichabod dusted himself off and rose to his feet. "Very funny, Brom. But one would expect for a children's story to be told by a brute such as you, for you indeed have the mind of a child."
"Why, you..."
Brom clenched his fist and took a step towards Ichabod. Ichabod flinched, when suddenly a voice cried out. It was Thomas, Brom's friend who had so convincingly played the part of the nefarious, ghostly horseman some minutes before.
"Brom, enough is enough. Come now, friend. You are destroying the mood of the festivities and neglecting your favorite companion. So let Ichabod be. Instead, come with me, have some more ale."
Brom muttered something that sounded more like a grunt than any form of intelligible speech, and stormed off with unsteady steps. Ichabod feared Brom. He couldn't deny it. He would never show it openly, of course, least of all at a party where Katrina was present. But he certainly felt himself breathe a sigh of relief as the uncouth brute left the scene and wandered into an adjoining room. However, his feeling of relief quickly morphed into a sense of unease. Katrina was still nowhere to be seen. Was it possible that she was the favorite companion who Thomas had mentioned? Was she with Brom right now? A sense of dread rose up inside Ichabod. Plucking up the courage, he hastened through the room, pushing the rowdy party revelers aside, and hurried through the same doorway that he had seen Brom exit through earlier. And that is where he saw them. There was Katrina, finally. She was beautiful as always, excellently dressed for the occasion. But despite his love for her, seeing her in Brom's arms, her lips locked in his, it filled Ichabod with jealousy, hatred, revulsion. She was no sweet maiden. She was a vicious harpy to so mislead him, to entice him to come to this feast and humiliate himself in such a fashion earlier, only so that she could now humiliate him a second time. No, enough. He would no longer suffer it. He rushed towards the coat room, grabbed his belongings and walked towards the door, speeding up slightly with each step. Katrina finally noticed Ichabod. She felt a pang of guilt in her stomach and rushed after him, crying out his name. But he was already at the barn, unhitching his horse from the post. Katrina stared after him, tears welling up in her eyes. Tears of guilt, perhaps, or simply tears of pity. But Ichabod no longer cared. He climbed atop his horse. For a moment he glanced at her, unable to look straight into her eyes, and then he rode off, back down that same gloomy, tree-lined path he had taken on his way there. He slowed down once the homestead was out of sight. A tear stung his eye as his trusty steed, Gunpowder, lazily clopped along the lane.
"You fool," he thought to himself. "You fool!"
The night had grown colder and stiller, yet Ichabod glanced at his pocket watch. Nearly midnight. Better get home soon, he thought. He didn't necessarily believe in ghouls, ghosts, and creatures of the night. But why tempt fate? Let them be, and they'll let me be, he thought. As midnight approached, Ichabod heard something in the distance. A rumbling. No, something else. Galloping. A horse. He swung his head around to look behind him. But he was alone. However, the sound seemed to draw closer by the second. He spurred Gunpowder onwards, anxious to get home, and the horse picked up its pace reluctantly. Ichabod passed down through a clearing, his eyes still darting to and fro, when suddenly there was a hideous shrieking sound, and a cloaked rider emerged from the fog in front of him. The rider's horse drew back, its neigh sounding more like the horrifying cries of the damned than anything that could be produced by any sort of earthly beast. Its eyes glowed like lamps, with the color of furiously burning brimstone. Ichabod's eyes grew wide with fear. There he was, atop that great steed, the headless horseman. He carried a burning jack-o'-lantern under one arm. With the other, he pointed at Ichabod. And while Ichabod expected him to speak, the rider remained completely silent. And indeed, this foreboding silence filled Ichabod with a chill more terrifying than any mere words could ever have. The rider approached slowly through the darkness. The jack-o'-lantern under his arm glowed strangely. The light inside flickered and danced with restless energy. Ichabod knew the stories. Supposedly inside that jack-o'-lantern, 1,000 cursed souls writhed and howled in a desperate attempt to escape. Nearly petrified with fright, Ichabod managed to turn his horse away from the headless being and sped away as fast as he could in the opposite direction. His heart felt as if it would beat right out of his chest as he raced through the glen. He had no idea which way he was going. He glanced back over his shoulder and saw with horror that the horseman was nearly upon him. Ahead in the distance, Ichabod spotted an old covered bridge, barely visible through the now thickening mist. He spurred his horse onwards as hard as he could, speeding towards the bridge at a breakneck pace. His pursuer, thundering fast behind him, reached the bridge, then abruptly came to a halt as Ichabod crossed the rickety wooden planks. The horseman had inexplicably stopped. Ichabod felt a wave pass over him, one of simultaneous confusion and relief. The rider's nightmarish horse reared back, shrieking in the distance, as the horseman raised the jack-o'-lantern into the night sky, flame belching from its eyes, nose, and grinning, jagged mouth. Suddenly, he hurled the fiery gourd at Ichabod. It seemed to travel at an unearthly speed as Ichabod frantically raced towards the other side of the bridge. Then, with a sudden startling crash, he felt an excruciating, painful blow on the back of his head as the hellish pumpkin was shattered upon his skull, knocking him from his horse and onto the damp earth below. Then, his world went dark. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was written by American author Washington Irving in the year 1820 as part of a collection of short stories entitled The Sketchbook of Geoffrey Crayon, Gent. This harrowing tale, along with Rip Van Winkle, made Irving famous, and the story of Ichabod Crane's ill-fated meeting with the Headless Horseman has since been adapted dozens of times in both TV and film. The origins of the Headless Horseman can be traced back to Irish folklore. The Doolahan is a headless demon who roams the land, typically astride a huge black horse, carrying its own head and wielding a whip made from a human spine. Although usually a male, there are female versions of the creature as well, wearing a grotesque grin upon its face that stretches to each side of its severed head. The head itself looks and smells like rotten cheese, and its eyes shift and roll constantly, allowing it to see for miles and miles, even in the blackest of nights. If the Doolahan stops riding, that is the harbinger of someone's death, making this demon a grim reaper of sorts. The creature calls out a name from its mangled mouth, and the person immediately perishes. In some versions of the legend, the Doolahan drives a black carriage adorned with candlelit skulls to light its path, its wheels made of bone and the wagon cover crafted from human flesh and skin. Rumor has it that this horrifying demon can be frightened away if one wears an object of gold or places such an object in the creature's path, thus causing it to vanish into thin air. One of the most well-known adaptations of the legend of the Headless Horseman is the animated Disney film from 1949, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. The film features two segments, one of which is based on Irving's 1820 short story. Although more light-hearted than the original tale, the climactic chase scene is thrilling nonetheless, and highly recommended if you are unfamiliar. Tim Burton also adapted the story in 1999's Sleepy Hollow, a gruesome, darkly gothic spin on the legend, which takes several liberties with the character. In Burton's version, Ichabod Crane is now a policeman instead of a schoolmaster, sent from New York City to investigate murders taking place in the village of Sleepy Hollow. There are also numerous TV shows, radio dramas, and Broadway musicals based on the legend. Even cities such as Sleepy Hollow, Wyoming, named streets after themes and characters from the story. Pumpkin Court, Gunpowder Street, Ichabod Avenue, and so on. What makes this particular tale so enduring? Perhaps the reason is that it's a perfect mix of supernatural and terrifying elements. A warrior slain in battle, missing his head, who rises from the grave seeking vengeance. A simple enough story, and one that seems impossible to believe, yet we somehow almost want to believe it. Perhaps merely to frighten ourselves, or perhaps because, despite all the viciousness and cruelty of undead warriors, such as the Hessian swordsmen in this tale, they were the victims of the tragedies of war. So maybe these lost souls alone are not to blame for lashing out in anger. Rather, with so much conflict existing in this world, perhaps one should expect that those who depart this earth in excruciatingly painful ways, those who lost their lives in such gruesome fashions, often due to petty ambitions by dukes, kings, and other rulers, driven by power, lust, and greed, would come back to take their vengeance on those who still live. What do you think? How did the legend of the Headless Horseman and the related tales of the Doulahan come to be? Are they simply stories that adults make use of in order to scare their children into obedience? Or is there some more supernatural explanation? Could a headless horseman possibly exist out there, roaming in the dark woods right now as you listen to this very story? Perhaps we will never know for certain, but for now, all we can say is keep your wits about you on Halloween night, and if you are suddenly overcome by terror as something goes bump in the night, do try not to lose your head. We would love to hear your own thoughts and ideas about these spooky stories. If you have enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Pixel Elixir and on Instagram at Bite-Sized Frights. You can also subscribe at bitesizedfrights.com so that you never miss any of our terrifying tales. This has been a Pixel Elixir production, narrated by Chris Kay. Thank you for listening. Until the next bite, my friends.